Worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah, and he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. So it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then a few other specific passages in the Word also. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 tells us, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And then in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, it tells us, "You shall not murder." And then Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12, "Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Surely we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds?" Then in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9, it tells us, "Open your mouth for the speechless, and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." And of course, John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." And the final scripture we're sharing here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for how that your word guides us, counsels us, strengthens us. It helps us to clearly get the vision for your work and your will that you're calling us to and that you're calling us to live out. Lord, empower us to be a people committed to you, your word, and your will continually. And stir us to be the courageously obedient people and servants of Christ you would have us to be. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts. We're thankful how you used your Holy Spirit to revealed your Son to us, and that wonderful redemption story through the Bible, through faithful pastors along the way, through brothers and sisters in Christ who shared the good news with us before we were saved, and then you drew us to yourself. God, you're so kind to us. We pray for the broadcast today that will bring you much honor, that you will speak through the guest and through Joseph in a mighty way to our listeners, that they will cling to what you say to them and respond to it in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. We're continuing to encourage all of our listeners to take the time to go to watch specifically InHisImage.movie, to watch the movie produced by American Family Studios, In His Image. In His Image is a critical and urgent message designed to help equip the church to answer culturally controversial questions about gender and sexuality from a biblical perspective. And the movie, of course, is a feature-length documentary that presents much-needed truth with compassion and clarity through powerful personal testimonies, careful Bible teaching, and scientific evidence. We're encouraging every single listener to take the time to go to watch it, and you can watch it for free. Go to inhisimage.movie. Again, that's inhisimage.movie. Hope you'll take the time to do that. We're very blessed and honored today to have as our phone guest today, Jason Jones. He's the founder and president of the ministry Movie to Movement. He's produced a number of movies, some of which some of our listeners probably have already seen. But we're honored to have him on today to talk about one of his most recent movies. Jason, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Pastor. It's great to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Okay, good to have you. And I'm trying to think. I don't think we've had the privilege of having you on. I was thinking maybe a few years ago, but I don't think we managed to get you on before. But we're grateful to have you on this time. And as we start, Jason, I want to ask if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself. But in your introduction, I want to ask if you'll share with our listeners, you have such a powerful testimony of how you got involved with the cause of Standing for Life. If you'll share that with our listeners as well, we'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, sure, Pastor. Thank you. You know, I think like so many people that are involved with the pro-life issue, I was not raised in the church and was not raised in a family that was involved in politics. In fact, my mother had me when she was 16, and I think my mom and dad may have been married for about a year after I was born, but then he kind of left until I was, I didn't see him in my life until he was much older. I was much older, and maybe 6 or 7. He was in the military. He came back when I was around 6 or 7. So, you know, I wasn't raised in what you would think of as a traditional family or a conservative family or a religious family. So people are often surprised in my commitment to fight abortion, but it was sort of birthed from that experience. When I was 17, my high school girlfriend was pregnant, so I joined the Army. And while I was away at basic training, her father beat her up and took her to get a forced third trimester abortion. And I really didn't even know about the issue of abortion until she called me crying on a Sunday morning. I wasn't even supposed to be on the phone. I had extra duty. So I didn't know that we abandoned the most vulnerable members of our family to violence, lethal violence, the child in the womb, until I found out my own child was destroyed. In fact, my own daughter, because the abortionist looked up at her after the, quote, procedure and said, by the way, you had a little girl. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time thinking that this must not happen a lot, that no one must know that this happens, and that no one must know that this is legal. And now, this was in 1989. It was before most of us had cable news. It was before the Internet. And I really didn't know any of this. I went to my post library when I got to my duty station, and I had this book that was actually published by Planned Parenthood called Roe v. or Alan Guttmacher Institute called Roe v. Wade and Focus or something like that. That's all I had. And I just started going door to door in my off time telling people, do you know that abortion is legal? I just wanted to tell people. Don't you think we should make it illegal? Mm-hmm. Well, I quickly found out people knew, and it was just startling to me as someone who never went to church. You know, I had no religious formation. I was last in my class out of 565 kids. Before I dropped out, you know, so I wasn't an ace. But what I did know, Pastor, is I did know the biological beginning of the human person was fertilization. I knew the basics of human development. And I knew that when my child in the womb was destroyed, my daughter, that was a human being. And that human being, that child, did not have legal protection. And in the film business, we call that the inciting incident. The call to adventure, and that was what changed my life. I've been addled. And because I didn't come from a Christian or conservative perspective, I didn't see abortion separate from other sort of acts of unjust violence to the vulnerable. So, but from that day, I became just sort of obsessed with the idea that children are exposed to violence, and I wanted to live a life where I put myself between the violent and the vulnerable, especially vulnerable children. And I started going door to door, got involved in politics and radio in college. And from there, I just wanted to reach more and more people with the truth about the beauty of the human person. Eventually, I was an atheist my first 13 years in the pro-life movement. First, 12, 13 years. Mm-hmm. Eventually became a Christian and wanted to reach more and more people with the truth about the dignity and beauty of the human person. Like that movie, your AFA movie, I didn't know about. I just took a note in his image. I can't wait to watch that because that's what led me to being a Christian. I say that I found God in the mirror. Not by looking at myself, but by looking at other people. Even as a child, I was obsessed with humans. You know, I would from Chicago, and I would just go and stand at a corner, 9, 10 years old, and just watch people. Sit on a curb and watch people all day, just sort of fascinated at how beautiful and dignified they all were. And I wanted to know the source of that. And I was so anti-Christian from part of my upbringing. And then my high school girlfriend's father was this very public, pious, devout Christian. So I saw them as hypocrites and frauds. So I was so anti-Christian that what was finally allowed me to sort of catapult over my bigotry to ascend to the truth of the gospel was it was the only thing that accounted for what seemed to me self-evident, that human beings are the most interesting, beautiful things in the cosmos. And that mystery of the incarnation and that mystery in the Jewish scriptures, where we're told that we're made in the image of God, seemed to be the only thing that I could find to explain that.
That's a powerful, well, testimony and journey. And so you came to know the Lord long after you got involved with the pro-life cause. That's what you're saying, though.
Long after. Look, I was so prejudiced against Christians. A lot of it had to do with the moral relativism that I saw in the church. So I was sort of shocked into there's black and white, there's right and wrong, and you don't hurt the weak. And I stumbled across the atheist objectivist philosopher Ayn Rand, who wrote Atlas Shrugged. And so in the eighth grade, I had read Anthem. And so I sort of became a Randian, an Ayn Rand objectivist. But I founded the Pro-Life Student Union at my university when I got out of the Army, and I would go to the different clubs on campus that were Christian clubs. And I would say, you know, I thought that they would be my natural ally because I was becoming to understand the contours of politics. And I thought that evangelical Christians would be my ally. But on the college, on my campus, I would hear things like, well, who are we to judge? I'm not going to, you know, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Or I went to the Catholic Newman Center, and the priest said, I'm not going to help you with that crap. So I was just sort of really scandalized by my experience with Christians, that it just reinforced my atheism. I remember I had my line when Christians on campus would say, and these were the older guys, like, you know, they might be in their late 20s that were running these different campus clubs. And that's what I would get often, you know, who are we to judge? And I'd say, or they would say, you shouldn't judge. And they'd say, you know, Jesus said that. And I would say, well, Jesus should read Aristotle. No, you can't use a concept to refute concept. You can't say you shouldn't judge. That's making a judgment. And then, of course, when I read the New Testament, our Lord never said that. He said, judge not like a hypocrite. Take the plank out of your own eye, and then take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. He didn't say leave the plank in your own eye, so you abdicate you of your responsibility of taking the speck out of your neighbor's eye. It's do that hard, disciplined work of weeding your own garden so you can help your neighbor take the dandelion out of his. Don't just leave the weeds in your garden. Paul said, don't you know, when I read Paul, you know, don't you know, judge the angels in the world, how much more we should be able to judge the matters of this world.
That's right.
I'm like, wow, I wish that I would have heard this on my college campus. I would have become a Christian much earlier. But what ended up eroding my prejudice also was through the pro-life movement, I was meeting very serious Christians who took the gospel at its word and were very much committed to protecting the child in the world.
I'm going to jump in here right quick. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Jason Jones. He's the founder and president of Movie to Movement, and we're going to talk about the movie Divided Hearts of America. We'll be right back.
Through the night, I put my heart.
the music of Planet Shakers, Only Way. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Jason Jones. He's the founder and president of Movie to Movement, a ministry that, amongst other things, makes powerful Christian movies that address the life issue. Jason, if you would just real briefly introduce what Movie to Movement is, and then we want to really jump in quickly and talk about the movie Divided Hearts of America.
Well, Movie to Movement, our mission is to promote movies that tell the truth about the beauty of the human person. You know, I've been a part of over 50 films. My first film was Bella. Many people know Bella, The Stoning of Soraya M., Crescendo, Voiceless. But about 2 years ago, when Governor Cuomo of New York lit Freedom Tower pink in celebration of infanticide, I got together with my team, and we wanted to make a movie that would unite America. We knew that this fall would be a very divided time in our history. We couldn't have anticipated the division that we see today, but we knew it would be a time of division. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to address the root cause of division. We thought the perfect person to do that would be Benjamin Watson. Mm-hmm. Benjamin Watson is an NFL football player, a philanthropist, outspoken pro-life man, but a beautiful Christian man who people listen to across the aisle. He's the only person I know on Twitter that has Twitter conversations on race, Twitter conversations on abortion, where other people are arguing on these kind of contentious issues. He's able to pull people into a normal human conversation. Mm-hmm. So this is the guy we got to send on this adventure. And so this is Benjamin Watson. He goes out trying to find the root causes of our division. He interviews Ben Carson, Senator Scott, Alveda King, abortionists, one of the founding fathers of hip-hop in this country. He interviews the elected officials that that actually wrote the bill in New York. Mm-hmm. That would make sure that abortion up until birth would be protected in New York, even if Roe v. Wade was overturned. Mm-hmm. So he interviewed all these folks, and in his journey, I'm going to give away the secret. You need to watch the movie because there's so much in there I didn't know before. You're going to make so many discoveries. Mm-hmm. But what he really discovers is that since the beginning of our founding, our division has always been caused by denying our founding principle, that mm-hmm. declaration principle, which is we are endowed by God with inalienable rights, mm-hmm. which is really Christian anthropology, the Christian understanding of the human person. We're the only country in the history of the world founded on the Christian vision of the human person. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the first brutal denial of that founding principle, that weed, was growing before the wheat of the Declaration of Independence was even written, mm-hmm. and that was slavery. Mm-hmm. And so slavery, from the beginning, denied what the founding fathers wrote in that Declaration mm-hmm. Of Independence and what the Constitution was written to protect. And that mm-hmm. ripped this country apart into a war. Mm-hmm. And then after the Civil War, of course, we had those beautiful amendments culminating in the 14th Amendment, which made slaves citizens of our republic. But then we had 100 years of the law enforcing segregation and treating people as less than human. And that was the second brutal denial of our founding principle. And that almost ripped our country apart. Mm-hmm. And, you mm-hmm. know, here's the tragedy. I apologize for that goofy dog in the back, but... The great tragedy is after the Civil Rights Act, just less than a decade later, mm-hmm. We had Roe versus Wade, which found a right to destroy the child in the womb, mm-hmm. which found a justification for abandoning the child in the womb from legal protection. And do you know where the Supreme Court found the right to abortion? A lot of people don't know this. Mm-hmm. They said they found it in the Constitution. Well, they found it in the 14th Amendment. That court found the right to destroy the child in the womb in the amendment that made slaves citizens. And what to me is so perturbing about that is, as I'm sure you know and your audience knows, the forces that pushed for legal abortion in this country, beginning in the early 20th century, these were radical racists.
That's right.
These were eugenicists that were advocating abortion on racist grounds is a way to save America from one of the co-founders of Planned Parenthood wrote a book called The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. Mm-hmm. So it was, the real structural racism today in America mm-hmm. exists. 19th century, early 20th century, the projection of early 20th century structural racism exists today in Planned Parenthood.
Well, Jason, you know what I want to ask you, if you'll take a moment specifically, and we can come right back to the what you're specifically talking about, though. But would you take a moment specifically to pray for our listeners? That, you know, I think of this, that sometimes, whether it be a topic like what we're discussing or even related issues, a listener may think, well, that's interesting, or that's a critical topic, but I don't really see what it has to do with me or how I can get involved with that fight or that conflict. With the help of the Holy Spirit knows how to tell us exactly what we can do, whether it be pray or a combination of prayer and jumping to our feet to go get involved with a specific action or activity. But God has worked for all of us to do. Would you pray for believers to really hear what God wants them to do in relation to the topics and issues we're dealing with today?
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for that, Pastor. Father God, we just thank you for this privilege to share the gospel to so many people. Thanks to AFA. Thanks to the donors. Thank you to all the folks that keep these stations up and running. We thank you for this honor and privilege to share the gospel to more people than Paul probably shared in his whole life. We have no shipwrecks. No one's trying to stone us, Lord. And here we are getting to share your word. Lord, I would pray that you open up all of our hearts to know how this abortion issue has impacted us. We ask that you forgive us for being swept away by the spirit of our age and our involvement in abortion. We ask that you give us empathy to see how abortion has impacted and hurt those closest to us, and teach us how to speak in a way that comforts them and edifies them and makes them know your love and forgiveness. Lord, we pray that we never hurt anyone with our words, that our words are never a scandal, Lord, that we pray that when people hear us speak, we're fallen.
Thank you, Jesus.
But we pray that they can see you, even as fallen as we are, as broken as we are, as scandalous as we can be, Lord, we pray that they see you, that you know them, that you created them out of all eternity. You knew them. You knew us. You loved us.
Thank you.
You called us into existence through love. You hold us into existence through love. And so many of us, me, Lord, worst of all, have been swept away using the gifts that you've given us, the gifts of sex and love, and I've hurt people. And so oftentimes it leads to the tragedy of abortion. Lord, forgive us for our sins that we have committed, and forgive us as a community for the sin of abortion. Our laws have lied to our young people. Our religious leaders have lied to our young people. Our media lies to our young people, and so they choose abortion, Lord.
Yes.
So we all share in this tragedy. We all share in this lie. Lord, we pray for the truth to be known. When we deny our own children in the womb, we deny who we are. When we deny the dignity of the elderly, we deny who we are. When we deny the dignity of someone because of their race or their religion, their ethnicity, their heritage, we deny who we are. Lord, help us to see all of our neighbors, you, your dignity, and your worth. Lord, help us to see you through our neighbor, and help us to see the beauty of our neighbor by your grace. And we pray all of this in your name, in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Jason. Thank you for the ministry of Movie to Movement. Thank you for this powerful movie, Divided Hearts of America. Lord, thank you for every believer listening, Lord. Lord, help us more and more to be believers that recognize that you have ways of using us to help make not just a small difference, but a major difference as we simply listen to your spirit and do what you tell us to do. Empower us to be believers who courageously do whatever it is you're calling us to do, to be strong witnesses for life. Father, we think of the two wonderful young women, Shipra and Pua, in Exodus 1, who courageously did what they could in the corner where you placed them, and you used them to not only save many Hebrew baby boys, but probably used them to even save the life of a little baby by the name of Moses. Help us to know, Lord, that our obedience never is fruitless. Our obedience always makes a difference. Help us to be obedient, to be the witnesses you want us to be, where you've called us to, and help us to know, Lord, that we're empowered by your powerful Holy Spirit. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Jason, would you tell our listeners, if someone wants to watch the movie Divided Hearts of America, how can they do that?
Well, you can go to our website, movie2movement.com. That's movie2movement.com. And then it will show you where you'll go to our website, you'll see where you can watch it on pay-per-view. And it's on pay-per-view until November 17th. You just click there, and if you use the code MTM, you get a 20% discount. And, you know, this is a film you want everyone to see. In my films, I've won the Toronto International Film Festival, the Hollywood Film Fest, the NAACP Image Award. We've won a lot of awards in my life for my films. Mm-hmm. To me, beauty is important. I'm also a writer, but if I'm going to make a movie, it's about being beautiful. It's about storytelling, and this film is startlingly beautiful. It's a documentary, but it really, the photography is powerful, and it really does, I think, exemplify the truth about how the human person is. I do want to say something, Pastor. First of all, I love your name, because you have the name of one of my favorite boxers. I don't know if you know that, but
I do know about him.
Yeah, Joseph Parker from New Zealand, Samoan boxer. So I always think of him when you call me. Mm-hmm. And but you know, I was thinking, I have a background in radio, and I always wanted a late night show. Mm-hmm. And this is late night radio right here. And you know, there's people getting up for work. There's people battling with sickness, and just with our last prayer and with this issue of abortion. Mm-hmm. You know, those of us who are trapped in sin, those of us who are, whether it's drug addiction, pornography, prostitution, we're battling with depression, all of these things, they're empathy-building exercises. You're learning how to understand other people's sorrow and suffering. We've all been born into the same society, influenced by the same media, told the same lies, trapped with the same problems. And when God pours out his grace to you, know him and love him, these times we've spent away, when as believers we become so much more powerful in sharing the gospel. And I know there's I just feel, Pastor, someone's listening right now, mm-hmm. You need to hear that you are going to be a powerful witness for Christ, and that what you're going through right now is going to be such a gift to so many other people to help liberate them from their struggles. Mm-hmm. And that is the beauty of the gospel. That I don't know if you know about these beautiful statues they have in Japan, Pastor. When there's a crack in them, they fill those cracks with gold, and they become ever more valuable. Mm-hmm. And to me, as we know as Christians, that grace built upon nature, and the cracks that our nature that we have in our nature, God's grace pours gold into those cracks, and that. Edifies other people. And and that is really what the goal of our movie is. I don't ever want anyone to, we're already, those of us who've been involved with an abortion are adults with sorrow. Sometimes we can go months or years without thinking about it, and then all of a sudden out of the blue a song or a smell or something in the media triggers this sorrow, and it can be all consuming. And so we don't want to add to that. What we really wanted to show people is, listen, this is something this brutal denial of the human person, the lie of Roe v. Wade is something that's influenced all of our behavior, our choices. And let's come together as a country and really energetically strive. This is the real key of the movie. As over the next 7 days, we're going to be seeing so much division, riots in Philadelphia, stabbing, shooting, looting, calumny back and forth on one side to the next. But what we as Christians need to do is stand up in the midst of all of this and tell everyone the truth.
That's
the
right.
Truth is they were made by God and for God. And that's the secret that will unite us. The secret, how wild is it that the secret to our unity is in that Declaration of Independence that we only even teach our children for one semester in eighth grade? How is this? One semester in eighth grade, our kids get to hear a little bit, maybe one class where they go over the Declaration of Independence. But buried in that Declaration of Independence is it's a political document, but right there it says who you are. You have rights. You have a dignity. You are worthy of respect. And that goes for the child in the womb. And once we ascend to that truth, we're going to be the most unified country. And we're going to be able to leave to our children and posterity a beautiful country and a peaceful country, a country that is a city on the hill. If we don't end abortion, this republic ends, collapses. It's over.
You know, that's it's a powerful truth to consider. And We're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Jason Jones, the founder and president of Movie to Movement. We'll be right back. Of BB and CC Winans, celebrate new life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Jason Jones. He's the founder and president of Movie to Movement. Jason, if our listeners, again, if they want to watch the movie Divided Hearts of America, tell them again how they can do that.
You go to our website, movietomovement.com, and right there you'll see Divided Hearts of America. Click on through, it'll take you to the pay-per-view page. And with the code MTM, you get a 20% discount.
Okay. All right. And again, share some of the other titles. You mentioned some of them, movies that you've either made or had a hand in making that they could also watch as well.
Yeah, Bella was my first film, which won the prestigious Toronto International Film Festival. And it's still today so many people's favorite pro-life movie. In fact, because yesterday was the 13th anniversary of our release. Anyone who donates this week to our organization gets a free DVD of Bella. But Stoning of Soraya M. is another movie I'm very proud of. We won the NAACP Image Award for Best Film. Crescendo is a movie I made with Justin Bieber's mom, which you can watch on YouTube. We made it to give to the world for free. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful short film. Crescendo, Voiceless, which is really it's a great movie for men. It's one of my favorite movies, Voiceless. Gosnell, I played a CNN reporter in Gosnell. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many good pro-life movies out there. But, so for me, I never really saw myself as a filmmaker because I'm also a columnist and I write books. Mm-hmm. My mission is simply to advance the interests of the vulnerable, to inspire people to defend the vulnerable. At Movie to Movement, our mission is to stand with the vulnerable, from the child in the womb to the Uyghur in Chinese-occupied East Turkestan. We want to defend those who no one is defending. We want to stand with the people who've been left alone. And it's sorrowful, you know, that in our own country we have abandoned the most vulnerable population to violence, the child in the womb.
That's right.
My friends were pro-abortion. I say, you know, look, I'm not an extremist on this issue. Mm-hmm. I just think it's from 50 to 50. In 9 months, years old, we should deny legal protection to. Or maybe 47-year-old, we should deny legal protection to. That's how I always saw abortion as a young atheist. Like, how do we just deny somebody their legal protection because of their age? And if we're going to pick an age, picking people when they're most vulnerable doesn't seem to be fair. They give mm-hmm. them a chance. Say 29-year-olds aren't mm-hmm. going to have legal protection. It's just bizarre. Mm-hmm. But isn't that how ideologies of evil are? These enthusiasms are bizarre. Mm-hmm. Slavery is unthinkably bizarre to us. There was a time it was the status quo. Mm-hmm. Segregation is bizarre. You're like, what? You know, mm-hmm. you try to explain it to your children, and they look at you like you're making it up, and you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's what abortion is. It's it's literally lunacy. It's an insane enthusiasm.
That's right.
That has swept through our culture. Mm-hmm. It's as insane as segregation. It's as insane as slavery. It's insane as the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. It's unthinkably bizarre. But that was the world before the gospel. What we think is normal is the gospel. You know, it's if you think of the world before the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity, it was a wild, insane, violent place with all sorts of horrible practices mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. were considered normal. Treating everyone with respect and dignity is the fruit of the Christian understanding of the human person.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jason, I think of this something, and I'm going to ask you to share your thoughts shortly as well, but I think of this, that sadly it's said that because of the tragedy that has come upon our nation after Roe v. Wade was passed, that now the statistics say that one out of every three or four women have had abortions, and that's a staggering number. So basically, amongst other things, part of what that means is that every single congregation in this nation is directly touched by the tragedy of abortion. And in the film, one woman used a term that she said, she referred to post-abortive individuals as being the walking wounded, people who are just living with the wound of having gone down the tragic road of abortion. Would you touch on that?
Yes. You know, that's one of my best friends and executive producer of the movie, Yvonne Seaman, who said that, Yvonne Klozek Seaman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Vicki Thorne, the founder of Project Rachel, a ministry that helps women and men deal with the aftermath of abortion, mm-hmm. she said to me, Jason, you know, when men are involved in abortion, they explode. Women implode. Mm-hmm. And when she told me that, I just started crying mm-hmm. because I realized that I've exploded. You know, my first year in the Army, I had 3 Article 15s for fighting. My second year, 2. I slowly learned how to manage my anger. I was so angry. Mm-hmm. And then that anger turned into activism mm-hmm. and relentless work. That's me exploding. Mm-hmm. And I know how driven I am, you know, and I just, when she said that to me, when Vicki said that to me, mm-hmm. the idea of all of this energy and anger going out into the world, rather than going out into the world, coming in on myself, unbelievably sorrowful, but that's what happens to women. Mm-hmm. And now that's the bad news. I'm going to tell you the good news, the tragically good news. We're not alone. It's not exceptional. Like, it's a great tragedy, but it's not exceptional. It's normal for our age. Mm-hmm. So when each of us feel that we're unforgivable. And then when we hear other people share a similar sin, we're like, well, of course God forgives. Well, God forgives us too. God forgives you too. Mm-hmm. We feel the weight of our sin and we think, well, I should have known better because of this or that. We all should have known better because of this or that. Mm-hmm. But we were all afraid. We were all young. We all believed the lie. You know, like you said, one out of three women. But in some communities, like in my community of friends, mm-hmm. I'd say it's half. Mm-hmm. Depending on your age and the part of the country you're from, you know, it's half of my friends. Mm-hmm. Half of the men in my life are responsible for abortions. My friends, half of the women in my life, you know, are responsible or have had abortions. Mm-hmm. And so it's when you're sitting in that congregation and the pastor's preaching on abortion, if he does, and you're sinking in your chair, you do not sink in your chair. Mm-hmm. You've been forgiven, right? But here's the thing. You have to know how you're feeling. Look around. There's so many people feeling the same. The pastor, you know, these pastors feel the same. Mm-hmm. These pastors have paid for abortions or their wives have had abortions. Mm-hmm. They're no different than us. We're the same. Mm-hmm. You know, I get so frustrated when I hear Christians or pastors or evangelists will say, I was the world's worst sinner. No, you are not. Because mm-hmm. you tell me your sins, they sound quite boring to me. Mm-hmm. They seem quite average. It seems quite every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all, if you're born after 1950, I was born in 1971. We lived through that revolution, sexual revolution. We've been inundated with pornography and lies about sex in the media. We've all been doing the same things, the same ways, suffered the same sins.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be honest about it. Now, here's a problem, Pastor, that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors don't want to talk about abortion because they know that their congregation is filled with women who've had abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't talk, but you're talking about everything else,
mm-hmm.
every other sin under the sun you're talking about, when you don't talk about abortion, what the women think is, oh, it's so bad, it's unforgivable. That's why Pastor doesn't talk about it.
Mm. How tragic. And, you know, I think of this too, Jason, you know, like, the clear counsel of God's word, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm going to take a moment now specifically. There may be women and men who are listening right now who know they've gone down that road and it's still a secret. It may be something they've told very few people in their lives, and many, if not most of the people around them, don't know they've gone down that road. But the fact is, the Lord knows, and the Lord wants to forgive them. You know, if we confess it, repent of it, God is more than willing to forgive and make us brand new. In fact, receiving Jesus Christ is the greatest need of the human heart, period. And of course, receiving his forgiveness and his salvation is something he wants us all to do. So I want to invite our listeners now, if you'll take a moment specifically, I want to lead you in a prayer specifically of salvation. And of course, in the midst of that, you can confess and repent of the sin of abortion or any other sin, because again, Jesus really is the answer to every problem, every challenge, every difficulty in life. So for all of our listeners, again, if you'll pray this prayer with me, I invite you to do that right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world, you lived, and you died on the cross to pay for my sins and all the wrong I've done. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong that I've done. And today, in a brand new way, Lord, I open my heart and my life to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Make me brand new and take my life and make it everything you want it to be. Help me to live my whole life following you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you just prayed that prayer, I want to invite you, please do. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Please get in touch with us. We'd like to be in touch with you, communicate with you, share some resources that I think will help and encourage you, and to pray for you specifically as well. So I hope that you'll take the time to do that then. So, Jason, our time is almost gone. Share with our listeners one more time. If they want to get a copy, if they want to see the movie Divided Hearts of America, tell them how they can do that.
You go to our website, movie2movement.com, movie2movement, movie2movement.com, and use the code MTM, and you get 20% off.
All right. And, of course, also, there at that same website, they can learn more about some of the other movies you've mentioned as well, then, correct?
Yeah, you sure can. You'll see all of our movies, Crescendo, Sing a Little Louder, Stoning of Soraya M, Bella. And what we love about Bella so much is we've received over 7,000 letters and emails and phone calls from women who are going to have an abortion, somehow saw Bella at the theater, on DVD, Redbox, Amazon, wherever, and canceled their abortion. So Bella, to me, is something else. And yesterday was our anniversary. In fact, on my podcast, The Jason Jones Show, I interviewed a young woman who was scheduled to have an abortion. She saw Bella, canceled it, and then ended up having two babies. Had twins, Bella and Millie. She's one of my favorite stories because she's the only, of all the 7,000, the only ones I know that are twins for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's more twins out there, but they're the only ones that I've built a relationship with.
Amen. How would you like for people to pray for you and the ministry of Movie to Movement?
you know, pray that God amplifies our influence, and pray that, you know, that we work with fortitude and discipline, and that, you know, that we're useful in sharing the gospel, and we're useful in sharing the truth about the human person. One of the ways we're really reaching people now is my podcast has found a huge audience in the Muslim world. And so pray that we're useful in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ into the Muslim world as well.
Mm. All right. And well, again, Jason, thank you so much for being with us today. And I want to take a moment to pray now. Father, thank you for Jason. Thank you for the ministry of Movie to Movement. Thank you for the movie specifically that we talked about, Divided Hearts of America. Anointed, blessed indeed, expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mighty upon it. Keep it from evil. It may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. Jason, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you for our listening audience for listening today. Please take time to pray much for Jason Jones and the ministry Movie to Movement, and pray much for the ministry Divided Hearts of America. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.